Hi, this is David Novak, and welcome to another edition of It's All About Relationship, and this is episode number 74. Got some good stuff for you today. We're going to be talking about relationships as we always do, but this one has to do with our children. Yep, our children. Stick around. It's going to be a good one today. All right, glad you joined us today. If this is your first time with us, welcome. And if you're returning, we're really glad to have you back. So anyway, let's get it started today. As you know, the name of the podcast is It's All About Relationship, and that's what it is because we help you develop, hopefully anyway, we help you develop a closer relationship with the Lord, others, and even yourself. So today, the relationship we're going to be talking about is children. That's a whole nother ballgame, isn't it? Whether you're a young parent or a single parent, maybe you are. Maybe you're an older parent and the kids are, maybe they're in their teenage years, or maybe you're a grandparent. Hey, you know, it's all about kids, right? And a couple questions for you here. What do our kids and our grandkids, what do they need from us? What do they need from us? Well, you know, obvious things are, you know, shelter, safety, love, things like that. But ultimately, in which encompasses all that, they need an example of a loving parent like the Father is to us. And maybe you come from a situation where you didn't have that in your life. And actually, it's really odd. Well, I was going to say it's funny, but maybe not so funny. But it's very interesting because it's so many people that I talk to. We get to talking about how they were raised and everything. And a lot of people I talked to did not come from really happy homes. And that's, isn't that weird? I mean, it seems like that should be the norm, but it's not necessarily the case. And maybe you didn't, and maybe you did. I don't know. But we have a choice on how we can have our home. Now, maybe we've already made some mistakes. And when I say, you know, we, I mean you, me, you know, whoever's listening to this, maybe we've already made some mistakes. And if you're more than 1 year old, you probably already have, right? Because we're human and that's just what it is. But you got to remember, it's never too late to get it right. I mean, even if you've raised a kid and, excuse me, you know, and they're already grown and maybe already out of the house, and maybe you had a tumultuous relationship with them. I mean, it happens, right? But it's never too late to make it right. God is the great healer, and he heals, you know, physically, emotionally, relationally, and he can take any kind of a relationship, and he can heal that relationship. And maybe it's already a great one. Excuse me, sorry. Or maybe it's not. But the whole point is we want to be a loving example to our kids, okay? And some thoughts that I have in there, we want to be there for them. And one of the most important things that, at least in my humble opinion, to be a great parent is to be a great listener too. Because sometimes we just tend to get into a conversation where we're only thinking about what we're going to say. Even as an adult talking to another adult, you get two people talking back and forth. And you're going back and forth, and your whole thought process is what I'm about to say next. And sometimes we don't listen. And when I say we, I mean me, you know, all of us. So it's so important to listen and to really hear what they're saying, and especially when we're talking about kids. And when we want to try to put ourselves in their position and try and see how they see and feel. Empathy. When you were a kid, if you can think back, you know, whether you were 8 years old, 10, 12, 14, 18, whatever the heck it is, one of the things that you probably said to your parents, at least we all did, I'm kind of thinking, is that, oh, you don't listen to me. You never hear what I'm saying. You don't know how I feel. Well, that's what I'm talking about right now. being a good listener is so important to being a good parent, because we're modeling after the Father, right? And we know that he hears and listens to everything we say, because he tells us to talk to him about stuff. And I don't think that he's thinking about what he's going to say when we're talking to him. Can you imagine that? You're talking to God the Father, and you're just talking, and he's up there not paying attention to you, and he's just trying to figure out what he's going to say to you. I don't think he operates that way. So anyway, you know, he really does listen to us. And then he gives us his word, and he gives us his Holy Spirit, of course, to lead us and guide us into, you know, how we should deal in a situation. And I, you know, I think when we're dealing with our kids, that we need to really bear down and listen to what they're really saying, and really try to see things as they're seeing them. Now, you know, I'm not talking about just being a good friend to your kids. I mean, it's good to be a good friend to your kids, yes. But, you know, if you're 40 years old and they're 10, I mean, you're not going to relate to them on a friend level like they're 10-year-old friends, right? Obviously, but you do want to be able to relate to them. But most importantly, we want to be a godly example to them. And again, like I said, if you've already been in a situation where it's already gone sour, God can fix that. And you can start anew. And absolutely. I want to read a couple of scriptures for you. Train up a child in the way he should go. This is Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, teaching him to seek God's wisdom and will for his abilities and talents. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a scripture to stand on. If let's say one of your kids is off doing his own thing, not in a godly way, maybe he's not walking with God, maybe he's completely turned his back on God. Now I'm talking about if you're a teenager or adult or older. I'm not talking about a 10-year-old right now, but train up a child in the way they should go. When he is older, they will not depart from it. Even if they've walked away from the Lord and they're not walking with the Lord, there is hope, because here is a promise in the Bible. You train up your child in the way they should go, in the ways of the Lord, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. In other words, I believe that means that they will come back to the Lord. There's a story in, I've got it right here, I promise. Luke 15:12. It's the prodigal son. It's kind of a long story, but you know what? I was unsure if I was going to read the whole story, but now I think I should read the whole story, so I'm going to read it. So then he said to them, this is Jesus telling a parable, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them inappropriately said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that falls to me. And so he divided the estate between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered together everything that he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he wasted his fortune in reckless and immoral living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to do without and be in need. So he went and forced himself on one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. In other words, he got a job. He would have gladly eaten the carob pods that the pigs were eating, but they could not satisfy his hunger, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he finally came to his senses, he says, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough food? Well, I'm dying here of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me like one of your hired men. That's what he said to himself. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion for him and ran and embraced and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quickly, bring out the best robe for the guest of honor, and put it on him, and give him a ring for his hand and sandals for his feet, and bring the fattened calf and slaughter, and let us invite everyone and feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was as good as dead and is alive again. He was lost and has been found. So they began to celebrate. Now his older son, who was in the field, and when he returned and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and began asking what's this celebration meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But the elder brother became angry and deeply resentful and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he said to his father, "Look, these many years I have served you and I've never neglected or disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me so much as a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this other son of yours arrived, who has devoured your estate with immoral women, you slaughtered that fattened calf for him." And the father said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But it is fitting to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was as good as dead and has begun to live. He was lost and has been found." It's Luke 15, 12 to 32 in the Amplified. Pretty hefty little story there, right? The prodigal son. You've heard that probably many, many times. And it's a story about, you know, as you just heard, the son goes off and lives an immoral life, takes his estate with him and blows the whole thing. And then he figures, you know what, I'll go back home. And even if I have to be like a servant, at least I'll have something to eat and a place to sleep, right? Father, he sees him coming back, and not only does he take him in, but he takes him in with incredible gladness and happiness. Then the other son is jealous because, you know, he never left. But the father is just happy to have both of his sons with him because he loves them both. You know, if one of your kids has gone off and, you know, like this prodigal son, continue to stand on the scripture that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, they will not depart from it." And continue to remember this prodigal son story. Continue to confess that over him. What do our kids need? They need a good listening ear. They need a parent who prays for them constantly. Somebody who's there for them, that will listen to them, talk with them, and show them the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and 7, chapter 6, verse 7. "You shall teach them the laws of the Lord and the word. You shall teach them diligently to your children, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up." Talking about sharing the word of God with our kids. You know, talk to them about the Lord. Tell them what the Lord's doing in your life. Ask them, you know, what they hear the Lord's doing in their lives. You know, I mean, sometimes it can feel kind of uncomfortable. You know, if you're talking to a very young child, it seems to be easy to talk to them about the Lord because little tiny kids will just, they'll just listen to you and they'll just pay attention to you, right? But when kids tend to get a little older in their teenage years and as adults, and if you haven't done this, you know, on a regular basis, they may look at you like you're nuts. but you know, it's never too late. Talk to the kids, you know, talk to them about what the Lord is doing in your life and what you see God doing in their lives. Talk to them about the Lord. It talks right here in Deuteronomy 6 and 7 that we're to teach them diligently to our children the word of God. Share the word with them. Encourage them. And you know what? They may roll their eyes. They may look at you like you're nuts, but you're planting seed, and that seed is going to grow into a huge harvest. And the more seed you grow now, the bigger harvest you're going to have. And hopefully you won't have that child that runs off. Excuse me. But, you know what I'm saying. Okay. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to the point of resentment with demands that are trivial or unreasonable or humiliating or abusive, not by showing favoritism or indifference to any of them, but bring them up tenderly with loving kindness in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." That's Ephesians 6, 4. Again, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." Okay. Do not, do stuff that we know that's going to provoke them to anger by showing favoritism over the other kids or humiliating them in front of their friends and stuff like that. It's not a good thing. We don't ever want to humiliate our kids in front of other people, adults or other kids. We want to treat our kids with respect. You know, don't make them feel like a weasel or a worm. But yes, if you need to talk to them, absolutely. Take them aside. Take them privately. Go talk to them. You know, discipline them as you need to, whatever that means to you. But don't make your. You know what I'm saying. I don't have to go on any more than that. Just trying to talk about how to work with our kids, how to have a closer relationship with our kids. But some of the main points I wanted to say is be a good listener. You know, empathize with your kids. Show them love. Show them the love of the Father, because they're looking to you as an example of their heavenly Father or Mother, okay? They're looking to you as the example. And even if you're a single parent, it just means you have twice the ability to do what you need to do with the Holy Spirit's help, right? And there's one more thing that I want to leave with you before I let you go today. This is just something I pulled off of Facebook. I thought it was interesting. I won't get into it a whole lot, but it says ways to destroy your kids' lives. One, give them a smartphone and unfettered access to the internet. Give them a smartphone and unfettered access to the internet. I'm not saying don't give your kids a smartphone, but the unfettered access to the internet is a really good, is something to think about. Another thing is let them spend the majority of their unsupervised time with peers of their choosing. Whoa. Yeah, and encourage them to follow their heart only, not the word of God, the ways to destroy your kids, right? Okay, that was just food for thought. Anyway, I hope this message has blessed you. I hope it's going to help you to have a little closer relationship with your kids, to be an example of a loving father, of a loving parent, someone who listens, and someone who prays for them. Never give up on your kids. Never, ever, ever, ever love your kids. Talk to you later. Have an awesome, awesome day.